going to talk to you this morning about the ultimate target of grace. And there are four passages of Scripture that we'll be sharing. Romans 8, 29 to 30. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. 1 Peter 1, 13. And Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And then 21, 1 through 4. I'm going to read each of them as I come to that part in the sermon, so you don't have to stick fingers in all the Bible pages as we go along. If someone were to ask you to define the ultimate final goal of God's grace, what would you say? Our minds immediately race in past tense, where we think back to a hill called Calvary and an old rugged cross. We think of legal rescue that wipes away our slate, swipes our slate clean, cancels our debt, saves us from the penalty of sin. And we also think in the present tense. We think of grace as that spiritual boost, that spiritual battery pack, a divine assistance that helps us get through hard times, through a bad week, or to muster up the strength for another day and to live the best we can for our Lord. But if you look close at the grand sweeping arc of Scripture, as powerful and precious and necessary as those two things are, there is still yet a third dimension of God's grace, and that's future. God's grace is not only a past rescue. Thank God that it is. It's not only a present coping mechanism. Thank God that it is. But the final goal of God's grace is a massive, breathtaking, future-oriented reality, the full restoration of humanity and creation to an unbroken fellowship with Him, culminating in the eternal celebration of His glory. Grace does not just lift us out of a pit, it carries us all the way to a palace. It doesn't just patch up our brokenness, it relentlessly drives us towards a heavenly banqueting table where human limitation is swallowed up by divine splendor and the glory of God. Let's begin with number one, the blueprint of transformation. To understand the sheer magnitude of what God's favor is working to accomplish, we have to look past our finite horizons to the architect's original blueprint. And that blueprint is laid out in absolute perfection in Romans chapter 8. Verses 29 and 30, where the Apostle Paul pulls back the cosmic timeline and lets us peek into the glory that is coming, the glory that is ours to share for eternity. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be supreme among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Notice the absolute lack of human conditions. Notice the absolute lack of our frailty in this text. Theologians call this passage of Scripture the golden chain of redemption. And every single link is forged from pure grace, unadulterated grace. It begins with God before time began, and it ends in a world of wonder, glorified. God's grace does not leave you a half-finished project. There are times, I know when I feel like I'm half-finished or a quarter-finished, one step forward, two steps back, but God's grace doesn't leave us in that condition. The ultimate destination of grace is the total transformation of our character, It's an active shaping of our character, of our life in Him, that's working right now to take us on to perfection. Think about what that promises. Left to our own natural abilities, we have the absolute inability to rise to what God has called us to be. We break under pressure, we succumb to weakness, we trip over our own pride, but God calls us and He refuses to leave us to our own resources. He looks at our lives with all the jagged edges and the fractures and the wounds, and He says, "My grace will not stop until you look exactly like my Son Jesus. I'm making you fit for royalty. I'm changing your identity so that you can stand in my presence face to face and unhindered forever." Now, secondly, the never-ending exhibition. If Romans shows us the design of His grace, Ephesians chapter 2 shows us the venue where this design will be celebrated. Look how Paul frames this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. "But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. God can point us to all future ages. God can point to us at all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His glory and His kindness toward us, as shown in what has been done for us in Jesus Christ." Now skim past that last verse. Paul explicitly answers the question of why God went to such lengths to save us. He says it was done so that in the coming ages we would show His glory. We would show the immeasurable riches of His glory. Do you know what that means? It means that our salvation is a means to a much grander conclusion. The ultimate goal of grace is for believers, for the church of the living God, to be presented as a permanent, living, breathing exhibition of God's goodness throughout all the endless ages of eternity. Now, number three, anticipating future grace. Imagine, if you will, you're walking through a museum. Maybe you've gone for a particular artist's exhibition, or maybe just to see the beautiful paintings and other pieces of art that are on display. And you come up to one masterpiece, and you stop there. I remember being in a museum in Moscow, and there was a painting that covered an entire wall. That was the only painting there. In fact, it was the only painting in the room, and there was a bench. And you had to wait for a turn to sit at the bench because that painting was so magnificent. And when you sat there, you studied the painting, marveling at what the artist had done, the strokes of the brushes, the colors of light, the incredible piece of art that he performed. Now, take that picture of you studying a piece of art and marveling at it, and wondering and appreciating and praising it. And Paul says, that's what God is doing for us and through us We will be a permanent exhibition of His grace for all eternity, for all of the angels of glory, for all of creation. We will be a permanent, breathing, living exhibition of God's grace. You know, when we're being looked at for eternity, they won't see a person who was once spiritually dead, helpless, bound by failure. They will see us seated in glory, fully restored, singing praises to the King. And the final horizon of grace, the ultimate celebration of grace, begins right now, changes our messy lives into something else. And Peter in chapter 1, verse 13 says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the glorious salvation that will come to you when Christ is revealed in the world. Peter doesn't point backwards, he points forwards. He tells what life holds for us in the future around the throne of God. The grace, he says, will be brought to you. And we look at that and see the heavens open and the trumpets sounding and Jesus stepping out on the clouds of glory. And what we experience today is just a drop of grace, a tiny drop, a mere down payment compared to the monumental tidal wave that's heading our way. So before we get to number 4, stop looking at your current environment. Stop looking at your limitations and see your eternal hope set on the finishing line. The ultimate goal of grace is a definitive future inheritance, overwhelming, overcoming every sorrow, wiping away every inadequacy, ushering us into the greatest celebration the universe has ever known. And number 4. The ultimate goal of God's grace. Where does that wave of grace finally land? It lands triumphantly in the closing chapters of the Bible, where the metaphor changes from a rescue mission to a wedding feast. Look at the sheer unfiltered joy of Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean winds, or the crash of loud thunder. And the voices are saying, praise the Lord! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to Him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And His bride has prepared herself. She's been given the finest of pure linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the righteousness of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Now look at the environment of this destination. There's no isolation here. There's no trembling. There's no silence. There's no fear. There's no feeling of inadequacy. Instead, there's an uncounted multitude, and the voices don't whisper. It's like the rolling peals of thunder, waves crashing on the shore. And they're worshiping and praising and calling out, hallelujah! Let us rejoice and exalt in our God. And look what the bride is wearing. And look how she got it. It's pure, it's white, it's the most fine linen. And she didn't earn it, she didn't pay for it, she didn't work for it. It was given to her. It was a wedding gift from the groom himself. So that the church is presented not broken or limping, but radiant, spotless, and seated at the head table of the banquet. And the celebration then expands into the ultimate full restoration of all creation in chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a shout, a loud shout from the throne say, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And that's the finish line. That's what all of history is marching towards. The final, ultimate goal of God's grace is this exact moment, a completely restored creation, where the dwelling place of God is with humanity. It's a state of unbroken, unhindered, face to face with fellowship, with nothing between us and the Creator, nothing between us and the God who showed His grace, who displayed His grace, and bought and purchased us with His grace. And all the other things that separated us will never separate us again. The pain, the tears, the limitations, the failures, the groanings, they pass away forever, swallowed up in the weight of His glory. So, how do we respond to a grace this monumental? We stop living as if we're spiritual orphans, and stop living as if we depend on our own meager resources. We stop trying to stitch together our own righteousness or hide our weaknesses from a God who's already guaranteed our glorification. And with that, the ultimate goal of God's grace, we can step out of the shadows, step out of whatever anxiety is befronting us, and step into His grace. Our future's not up in the air, it's anchored at the throne. We're called to live as people who are confidently moving towards the feast, setting our hope fully on the grace that's coming, and living our lives right now as a joyful prelude to the eternal celebration of His glory. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of the breathtaking scope of Your monumental grace, recognizing that Your favor is far greater than a mere rescue from our past failures. We praise You that the ultimate target of Your love is our full restoration and a future of unbroken face-to-face fellowship with You. Thank You for the comforting assurance of Your golden chain of redemption, knowing that You are actively using Your radical, empowering grace to sculpt us into the very image of Your Son, refusing to leave us to our own fragile resources or human inability. Fix our eyes upon the eternal horizon, Lord, so that we might live today in the light of the coming ages, anchoring our minds fully to the glorious inheritance being brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Forgive us for the ways we still try to hide in the shadows of our anxieties or perform in our own strength. Strip away our self-made armor and remind us that we are Your living masterpieces, destined to wear the bright, pure linen guaranteed by Your favor, entirely by Your favor. We look forward with burning anticipation to that day when all of creation is made new, when every tear is wiped away, and when our voices will join the thundering roar of the multitude at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Until that final cosmic feast, embolden us to step out of the shadows of fear and live our lives as a joyful, courageous prelude to the eternal celebration of your glory. In the triumphant and beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You prayed that prayer? Live in that prayer.